Hello, and welcome to Mike M's Weekly Reads. I have to record this so I can clean the table. I got a big shipment from mycomicshop.com, and it was very Warth comics-centric. This first batch of books I did not intend to get initially, but I was enamored by the covers. And I also was a few there I think there was one issue that I actually owned the modern reprint back in the day that I bought from Kmart. And the thing I liked about this that drew me to Charlton's War is the covers and the diversity of the war periods. Like the first one is dealing with at least on the cover, I haven't looked at the interior, is dealing with World War I fighter plane, like the Red Baron type thing. Really cool. Number two on the cover has Civil War. Beautiful cover. So you could see the diversity in that. The next, number three, is World War I fighter plane again, which I really dig. Number four looks like World War II battleship, like the Navy type story. Number five looks like World War I fighter plane. Number six, based on the German helmets, World War II, trench warfare type story, maybe. This is the one that I owned when I was younger from Kmart. It was an undersea type battle with the US Navy fought underwater. This was War Number 7, and it was also a modern reprint. I don't know what modern chose to reprint, but that was one of them. The number 8 cover looks like it might be a like some kind of battle in Mexico. Don't know. Maybe it's the Alamo type-ish. I don't know. I'll have to dig in. Number 9 looks very familiar. I think they reprinted this too as well on as a modern comic. And finally number and that is World War II. Number 10 is World War II, I believe, and that is a really cool cover. Fighter planes in World War II. So that one, I was just really captivated by the covers. I have no idea what to expect. I don't even remember reading that Navy SEAL type number 7 cover. I don't remember the contents of it, so it'll be new to me, probably revisiting it. I just remember owning it. So, the next batch of books that I got was, so that was War 1 through 10, and that was from Charlton Comics. I then switched over to Men of War, and I was trying to concentrate on the first appearances that I didn't have of war characters, and this is the first appearance of Gravedigger. And, this usually has an enemy ace backup. This is on this cover. It's got a GI facing. You're looking at his back, and he's got case files on the bottom, and it says introducing World War II's deadliest hero. His very existence is classified. Who is the man the army knows? Code name as Gravedigger. Number two was a comic book I owned. I don't know what happened to it. But it has an enemy ace backup and a Gravedigger story. So that was number two. Number three has Gravedigger on the cover fighting a bunch of Nazis. He looks like he's outgunned, but he's fighting an enemy ace backup again. Number four is Gravedigger's DC's newest boldest battle star, Trial by Fire. It has Gravedigger. It looks like rescuing a couple of his fellow GIs on a rock. We have number five. It looks like Gravedigger might be inside of a church and he's got guns pointed towards him by Nazis. It says Gravedigger trapped in the Valley of the Shadow, Joe Kubert cover. We then have another number six is a gravedigger story. They're all gravedigger stories. This has a German soldier or officer saying, "The fortress of Remachent is finished. No Americaner would dare to attack us now." And of course, gravediggers attacking. We have number seven, which is Gravedigger's first full-length novel. So I guess he's the featured guy, and he's shooting at a plane with a Tommy gun. I'm not a Tommy gun, but it looks like an AK-47, but that's what he's shooting. The Deadly Danger of the Milk Run. We then have number eight, why is Gravedigger turning against his allies? And who is Hans von Hammer, the enemy ace? Number nine now says, more pages, more features, all new stories. The life of enemy ace revealed at last. Frontline is back. I guess he was a character, a press type military character from DC Comics. And a gravedigger on the cover in the center. We have number 10. This is Gravedigger on a deadly mission behind enemy lines, and a plane just crashed. He's rescuing the pilot, and it's got a story of enemy ace and also a frontline. And I haven't heard of frontline. I've heard of Gravedigger, and I've read several enemy ace stories, but frontline will be new to me, and we got 10 of those. So, we already talked about Captain Atom and the first appearance of Dr. Spectro in the previous. I continued my Pit. I now own almost all of Pit Volume 1. There are three issues remaining. This is Pit 1/2. I was missing it. I believe it was in one of those Wizard magazines. It was in one of those promotional. I then went on a GI Combat tear. And this particular issue, 114, is a key issue. It's the origin of the Haunted Tank. That was a key issue. I really want the first appearance of the atomic tank, the Haunted Tank. But I'm looking at if I buy that in a condition that's where I want it, like kind of in the fine condition. It's probably 1,000. If I look at the very fine condition, it's like 3,000. So it's an expensive book. Even in the poor, like fine, you're looking at a couple $100. And in the GD Plus, which is pretty low, that's like $300. So man, that's going to be a tough one. We then have GI Combat 116. This has the Haunted Tank on the cover. This is a really, really nice cover. I really like this. It has the Haunted Tank like falling over a cliff, and it looks like a Panzer knocking it over. And it says, "The crew of the Haunted Tank, Lieutenant Jeb Stuart, Slim, Rick, and Arch. TNT Special, Battle Cry of a Dead Man, teaming Johnny Cloud and Jeb Stuart." This is another key first appearance. It's GI Combat 138, the first appearance of the Losers, Captain Storm, Gunner and Sarge, and Johnny Cloud. And on the cover, a tank's coming in. It says, "What's the use of fighting, Jeb? We're all born losers. Here's the Haunted Tank story you asked for, featuring the Born Losers." Joe Kubert cover. We have 191. GI Combat, and the Haunted Tank is going forth. It has a bunch of soldiers in white in the snow being arrested. And it looks like there's a bunch of Nazis overlooking the tank that are going to start firing. And one of the guys says, "This is too easy, Jeb. Capturing all the krauts in this area, there ain't none left. All new decoy for death. Suckers gamble." GI Combat. This is a cool cover. I really like it. 193, this is the tank driving over a rock, and there's a kid underneath that rock, as they're not even paying attention to the kid because they're being fired upon by a German tank. He says, "Keep going, Slim, faster before the crowd tags us." And it says, "The war that had to wait, plus the second in the Scorching Spice series, the OSS." We got 197 featuring the Honda tank. And it looks like there's a bunch of German tanks in the background. It looks like the tank is, I don't know, it's like driving up a piece of ice or something. And it says, "We're floating out of range of the Krauts cannon fire, but the right into the muzzles of those waiting tanks." Joe Kubert cover. This one I owned, and I remember this distinctively. Man, these tanks are driving over these mountain cliffs. It got a bunch of cannons firing on the tank, and it's like they're driving around the corner of a mountain, and it looks like they might fall off the mountain. Metal from a ghost, plus a spy scorcher, the wingless ace. And then we have the 200th issue gala, guest starring Sergeant Rock and the Losers. What more could you ask for? It even has Mademoiselle Marie. It's got a Sergeant Rock, a little Sure Shot, looks like Bulldozer on the cover in on the face panels. It's got the Honda tank and its members inside the tank shooting at planes in the center. And then the four stars on the right are the Losers. Pretty doggone cool. So that's the war comics that I got. And then let's dig into. I completed Punisher War Journal. So I was missing number 6 with Wolverine, and I was missing the final issue, number 80. And we completed that. I also know that the Electronic Warriors comic book is coming out, and I didn't have the original. So I ordered DC's Electronic Warrior 1 through 18, complete run, and I've never read it before. Should be interesting. I then got part of the DC Implosion. They started a war comic, but it never came to fruition. Only one issue came out. And that's Army of War. And it says a different approach to war comics. Four sensational stories from the Revolution to World War II to Vietnam. Joe Kubert cover. I then completed my Further Adventures of Indiana Jones. So I have a full run of that. I bought 11, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 18, 19, and 22 to complete my Indiana Jones from Marvel Comics. And I would describe these covers because they're really nice, but I got a lot to do. I then bought a fine copy of Ghost Rider number 2. This has Satan on the cover. Ghost Rider's on his bike, looks like he's falling over, and there's a woman in skimpy clothing saying, "Welcome to hell, mortal. Step right up to shake hands with Satan." This is number 2. So what did this number 2 of Ghost Rider do? It got me 2 steps closer to completing Ghost Rider Volume 1, Ghost Rider Volume 2, and Marvel Spotlight. I have one Marvel Spotlight number 11 to go on Ghost Rider. That's not his first appearance, but I have to finish it. I also have Marvel, what is it? Ghost Rider Annual Volume 2, which is the Danny Ketch annual to complete. That one I haven't been able to find anywhere. That's a weird one because you think that an annual you would be able to find. I then bought. Okay, so I claim victory on Jonah Hex, and that's a righteous victory. I do have all the volumes of Jonah Hex proper. But what I didn't have, and I have All-Star Western, his first appearance, and all the All-Star Westerns with Jonah Hex in it. But then I was like, this is continued in Weird Western Tales. And then I audited Weird Western Tales, and I found out I don't have a complete run. So I bought number 19, which has Jonah Hex with a sign saying poison. It's like he pulled the sign out and a cowboy's drinking water out of it, and there's vultures over the cowboy, and it looks like he might be drinking poison. I don't know. So what this run did is it got me 18 through 70 of every single Weird Western Tales. I still have to complete, I think it's like starts at like 5. I can't remember the issue it starts off at. Might be 18. But it not 18. It starts off like at some single digit, like 10, or I can't remember the number. But Weird Western Tales starts off at a funky number, and then it goes. And if I get to 17, then I'll have a complete run of Weird Western Tales. But we had number 20 I was missing. This has an Apache coming after Jonah Hex as he's lighting a cigarette. We have number 29 of Weird Western Tales. This is Jonah Hex walking away from some guy, and the guy has got a. He's pointing at him and he says, "I said draw, traitor." We have Weird Western Tales number 30, which has Jonah Hex at a court of law, and it says, "Gentlemen of the jury, how do you find Hex?" And they're bringing a hangman's noose. We have Weird Western Tales number 31, and it has a bunch of cowboys on the left, and they're saying, "Draw Hex, we paid for a killin', now we aim to get one." And it looks like he's being forced to draw against somebody. And that gets me all the way. So those 5 issues get me to have a complete run from 18 to issue 70 of Weird Western Tales, but I still have to complete those initial ones. And we talked about this on Geek Brunch Retrocast. Me and Rob were talking about Scout, Eclipse Comics, Kamiko, and a bunch of those other titles. And I ran across a Mike Grell title I didn't have, and it was James Bond 007 Permission to Die. So I had to go online and order it with this last order, and I got these ones are kind of like in deluxe format, like the DC deluxe format, and it's got issues 1, 2, and 3. And Nick Wetmore asked me to open one up and tell me what the art is like. For me, Mike Grell's art's never changed, so Mike Grell's art is Mike Grell's art, but he wanted to know the style, and it's Mike Grell's art. So if you have read Sable or Warlord or any of that stuff, this James Bond is very much in that vein art style. Yep. Very nice. Looking forward to that. Oh, crap. One thing about these guys is they dual tape it. And I like dual tape for the way it when it's shut, but I hate dual tape for when you're trying to put the book back. It's very dangerous. You have to be extremely careful and alert that you don't stick the book, get tape on book, because it'll damage it. And we safely put it back. And what else have we got? I think that's it. I think that wraps up the these books that I bought. Some of those war ones were pretty expensive, especially that GI Combat. It was in the 80s, if I believe, or 90s. So we will talk to you later. I just wanted to get this recorded. So I could get the table kind of cleaned. I'm gonna sit and watch football and bag and board some comics, and hopefully go to the basement, take 2 or 3 boxes down to the basement so they're out of Barb's way. So thank you for listening, and just one little tidbit. We were talking about Grant Morrison and his psychedelic writing sometimes, at least to me. And if you do like that, I highly recommend a Vertigo title. Well, this was actually a DC title before Vertigo came out. And if you're into not Grant Morrison. Yeah, Grant Morrison. If you're into Grant Morrison, especially his psycho stuff, what I call like his psychedelic trip rides, where it's like on a you're on a drug trip, You might dig this one. It's called Wasteland. It ran 6 issues. Barbie even read it. Ooh, I'm missing an issue of that. What the fuck? But its problem's gonna be fixed because I am going to type that in right now. Wasteland. See, take me down this rabbit holes and see what it does. Wasteland. And I need issue 16. So we're just gonna go. That's the almost the penultimate, but not quite. Ran 18 issues. And it's available for $1.70. I added it to my cart. So what was unique about this title is we were talking about, like, sometimes Grant Morrison, it's like he's actually doing some peyote or doing some drug trip, and you're trying to figure out the story as he's tripping and writing this. And when he does this, he has a great appreciation for continuity and history. So you get this like tangled, warped version of thing. But anyway, Wasteland was a book that came out near high school and early college. And Barb read it. We were dating, and Barb said, "Let me read some comics." And she was more into, like, she tried Sandman, she didn't dig it. I gave her Wasteland and she dug it. But what was weird about this was Jon Ostrander and a guy named Del Close. And this guy, Del Close, this is like a weird autobiographical thing of his drug trips. But Wasteland is a series of anthologies edited by comic industry legend Mike Gold. The series collects 3 bizarre stories in each issue. The series kicks off with a tale by Jon Ostrander about a drug that will create the highest of highs, but also cause death. One would think that that death would be enough of a deterrent to stop people from taking it, but then again, one never knows. Next comes a story about a futuristic society where people are married over the phone, and abortions are retroactive up to 9 years. The third is an autobiographical tale of Del Close. Well, Del Close is the guy that used to do drugs, and a lot of these are based on him using drugs. So, check out Wasteland. So there's a tangent for you. DC Comics, it ran from 1987 to 1989, and it was pre-Vertigo. So I will talk to you later. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back in a little bit with Mike M's Weekly Reads. And I'm gonna stop this. Welcome back, and let's get into these weekly reads. There wasn't a lot. I wasn't reading, averaging a lot. I was probably averaging 12, 13 comics for the next 3 weeks. This is April 30th through May 6th of 2018. We'll start at the bottom. We had a total of 13 comics. One was a Marvel IDW team up, 6 Marvel and 3 DC. Start at the bottom. The 3 out of 5, this means I liked it. New Avengers Transformers 1 through 4. This was I didn't originally buy this when it came out, but I was looking at back issues, and the covers intrigued me. So I bought it from the comic shop. A mysterious ship arrives in Latveria, which could cause a nuclear war with neighboring countries. This involves the Avengers, and they work with the Autobots to take down the Decepticons. So I give it a 3 out of 5. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have Action Comics number, I don't remember what it was, but it had to be before 1000. I didn't write down the number. It's a mystery on who is breaking into the Fortress of Solitude. It turns out to be Batman, who is giving Superman a mystery to solve for his birthday. Superman turns it back on Batman, pretending he was going to die from kryptonite poisoning. You know what? This is an older issue of Superman Action Comics, and I think it was in the Superman 80th anniversary hardcover, because I did read unpublished version of Action Comics later on, so this had to be from that issue, and I just didn't write the issue down. So we have Infinity War number 1 through 3. The reason I got into the, this, and this is the original Infinity War. is because I was on a warlock in the Affinity Watch read really late at night on the Marvel Unlimited app, and it led me into Infinity War. So Infinity War 1 through 3, Magus is causing doppelgangers and a situation to put that put Eternity into a coma. Raises eyebrows of Galactus, so he and his heralds are trying to track down Magus. Also, Doctor Doom and Kang are as well, so they're also in the picture trying to track down Magus. The heroes are trying with the help of magic, also Warlock and the Infinity Watch, working with Thanos to stop Magus. So that leads us into the next title. That's 4 out of 5, Warlock and the Infinity Watch. 8 and 9, Mole Man arrives on the Infinity Watch Island to join them. As they join him on Monster Island, Thanos shows up and has an in-depth conversation with Moondragon and Gamora. Gamora tries to kill Thanos. Thanos warns them about Magus and requests their help. We then get into the last 4 out of 5, which is DC Nation number 0. Joker waits for an invitation for the wedding at some random family man's house. The letter arrives for his daughter, and the Joker kills the man. A Perry White issue as he is trying to survive without Lois as a reporter. A new reporter shows up and she has ill intentions to take over the planet. And then it has a jail intro to all of the teams that are launching out of the Dark Knight's metal. We then get into the 5 out of 5s, and I gave Avengers Ultra Force number 1 a 5 out of 5, and that's Grandmaster chooses the Ultraverse, and Loki chooses the Avengers for the Infinity Gems. So it's a competition. Loki has a team, Grandmaster have a team. If Loki wins, he gets the 7th Infinity Gem, and if Grandmaster wins, he gets Loki's Mind Gem. It is Cap versus Hardcase, Prime versus Thor, Black Widow versus Siren, Topaz versus Crystal, Ghoul versus Vision, which was the best one, Star Fox versus Contrary, and Iron Man versus Prototype. So you can see what those matchups are. I really liked it, especially it was in that vein of Contest of Champions, and you know when you get Grandmaster going that I'm a sucker for those stories. So if you listen to this podcast, you know why I like that. And the next 5 out of 5 was in Action Comics. It was in the 80th anniversary hardcover of Superman. It was an unpublished issue where a rich person leaves a fortune to someone who is going to be most heroic, like just regular people. In other words, it's publicized. Whoever has the most heroic action, I will give a large sum of money to. You find out that people are setting up situations, and the lawyer that is monitoring the situations ends up winning the money. Because he's legit, and everybody else was like faking these heroic actions. It's a really good story. Highly recommended. I don't know how you could read it unless you read it in that hardcover, which is very interesting. We then get into May 7th through May 13th, 2018. There were only 12 comics read that week. We had one from Sirius, one that was digital that I don't remember what the name was. And 10 Marvel. We'll start. I actually had a 2 out of 5. I read this digitally because I wanted to be in on the story, because I heard an interview on Comic Talk today, and it led me to read Vengeance Nevada. It sounded really cool because the writer was talking it up. I heard about it on there, but I thought it was really confusing, and I really didn't enjoy it. So I enjoyed the conversation and the podcast way more than I did the actual book. I gave it a 2 out of 5. I didn't like it. We have 3 out of 5s. We have Ultraverse Spider-Man. You can see I was in those Ultraverse team-ups. This was Ultraforce Spider-Man number 1. An old Prime from the future warns the Ultraforce about another Earth and a Green Goblin that will destroy their Earth. Only at the time, it is a good Green Goblin that they're going after. That was a pretty cool story. We have 4 out of 5s. We have Infinity War 4 through 6. The team works together to take down and defeat Magus. Warlock in some kind of coma afterwards, and should lead into the Infinity Crusade, which is, I think, the third in that trilogy. We have Ultra Force Avengers number one, the conclusion, as the Avengers and the Ultra Force team up in a strange reality to take down Nemesis and her gems. We then get into the book from Sirius. This is by that writer who's been writing all those books that me and Bill have been getting into. And I bought the original issues. I still haven't finished all of Dog Witch. I haven't finished completing the series. They're in my want list, and it's not Dog Watch, it's Dog Witch. And I think it's the first work by Daniel Schaefer, and he also does the art. He doesn't always do both, but when he does it, I think he's in really good sync with himself. So Dog Witch is a witch, seems to be trapped in a mansion with some strange dolls and stuffed animals, and is waiting for dates because she seems to get power from having sex. Very unusual story, very neat. I really liked it. We have Ultra Force Avengers Prelude number 1. Members of Ultra Force experience the Infinity Gems as Cersei enters their universe and is reunited with the Black Knight. This is around the time that Malibu Ultraverse still existed, but that procurement was going to happen, because in Ultra Force you had the Black Knight, you had Juggernaut and the Exiles, you had all kinds of mismatches of X characters and Avengers, and you could see Cersei is an Avenger, she's in there, and this was the tail end. They were in it to buy their coloring process and take over their characters, and they sort of took over their characters for a short bit, and then decided it wasn't profitable, I guess. But members of the Ultra Force experience, I told you about their Cersei's reunited with the Black Knight. This is the prelude to the Avengers Ultra Force I just read. It was a little confusing, but John Statema interiors look like George Perez, which I found was very interesting. This is kind of like Ultra Force number 11. We have Warlock and the Infinity Watch 9 through 10. This is a 5 out of 5. Their first one defines the relationship between Gamora and Thanos. This is a must read, in my opinion, if you're into the films, especially if you watched Infinity War. This is a must read just to see how far back that relationship goes, and touch upon that relationship. The other shows Thanos and how he defeats his doppelganger. We then get into Stalkers 1 and 2. In a distant future, a public security firm takes down terrorists. This time they have to go take down an auto Mongol from destroying Detroit from two nuclear bombs. This was an epic collection, and it was a really cool epic collection. I highly recommend it. And then we'll get into our final week, which is May 14th through May 20th of 2018. We had a total of 13 comics, 1 Zenoscope, 3 Marvel, 1 Image, 1 Heroic, 1 Dynamite, 5 Dark Horse, and 1 Comics Tribe. We'll start at the bottom. I do have another 2 out of 5, which means I didn't like it. Prism Stalker. I don't know what this was about, but the colors were the only thing that I enjoyed. We talked about this one on Geek Brunch. Bill liked it a lot more than I did. I didn't like it. We had Sync number 2, the story of a cleaner as she is hired to take care of the body that a couple killed. The body comes alive, and she lets him take her boat, but she appears to be seeing things as the body still in the body bag. So what Sync is, it's almost like a Tales from the Crypt kind of thing, where different stories happen in this story, and this is from Comics Tribe. We then have X-Men Gold number 15, an alien invasion where they come to Earth to get their leader. Kitty is still on the ship. When they leave Earth, Kitty and Peter relationship grows. We have X-Men Blue number 15, Magneto thought dead, and Polaris use an electromagnetic pulse to stop Mojo and his terraforming of Earth. He escapes and starts a Mojo news network on Earth. We then get into a Zenoscope book, Pickaboo number 2. Number 1 I rated a 3 out of 5. Well, this is number 2, I rated a 4 out of 5. The one mom gets to the car where she has weapons. Two are dead and two women are missing. Sort of like Hills Have Eyes with many families. And the militaristic family is now armed, at least. But her daughter has been captured, and now it's the son and the and the mother. We have Venom number one. This is the Donny Cates new number one. So you know I'm getting close in time to where, you know, we're at if I did read this. The Symbionites have been around since the Vikings. Eddie Brock is losing control of the Symbionite and does not call on it unless it's an absolute emergency. A previous carrier of the Symbionite calls on Eddie's help to help other carriers of the Symbionites. Apama number one, this is a loser man finds a legend of yoga, and he's able to repeat it to become a Apama, which is the strongest animal there is. And this book kind of came out of nowhere, and they got this in Tap Dance Killer, and really entertaining comics. From what I understand, is this comic publisher is doing the opposite of what comics try to do or try to achieve. Usually you have a comic book and it's developed, and then they want to take that comic book into the movie studios and create a movie or some kind of TV show. Well, Apama, from what I understand, was a movie and they made it into a comic. So it's doing the opposite. That's what I mean. So it was a really cool story. 4 out of 5. We got Red Sonja Tarzan crossover. Gail Simone managed to create one of my most hated villains, Ensign Duel. This man is awful, and I can't wait for Tarzan and Red Sonja to get vengeance on this asshole. But it was a really good comic. I got to finish that at some point. We have World of Tanks, number 1 through 5. It's the story of a British tank crew and their wonderful training tank, Snakebite, as they try to take down a German commander who is a great strategist and does not like Hitler. Really good. Garth Ennis, World of Tanks, based on a video game from Dark Horse Comics. I gave it a 5 out of 5. So the 5 out of 5s for the last three, for this 3 weeks, were World of Tanks, number 1 through 5, Stalkers 1 through 2, which is Marvel Epic Collection, Marvel Warlock and the Infinity Watch 9 and 10, and Action Comics, The Unpublished Soldier, and Avengers Ultra Force number 1. Those wrap out the 5 out of 5s. I want to thank you for listening. Again, you can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com and on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. And you can find us on Facebook if you type geek space brunch space podcast and click the like button. You can follow the episode threads there. Or you could just go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com. I want to thank you all for listening. And we'll be back very soon with some questions in the next few episodes. I will talk to you later. Peace out.